Our gospel lesson this morning for this final Sunday of the liturgical year for Reign of Christ Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 25 to 35. As I read these words, I invite you to reflect on them in light of where you are at this particular point on your faith journey. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the bread that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So he said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I think that is what it's all about. I think that's what I am trying to figure out. And I guess that's what draws us to this place and places like this, week after week, month after month, year after year. These words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." I think it's about that transcendent sustenance that is poured into our lives through a community called the church as we respond to the invitation to change the direction of our living. All right. As most of you know, my undergraduate degree was in biology and with a lot of chemistry and math and all sorts of things. So most of the courses I took were those type of courses. But every once in a while, I would take something else. I would take from the humanities, and I would take a couple courses in psychology, a couple courses in English, a couple courses in religion, and I know you're thinking, you should have taken more. But no, I took a couple courses. I think I took two courses at undergraduate in religion. But anyway, what jumps out at me as I remember those days, well, first of all, does anybody remember receiving a piece of paper, literally a piece of paper, when you first walked into a class? What did we call those? You remember that? The syllabus. You remember that? Okay, good. Well, the first thing that would happen, they'd pass out the syllabus, and what would you do? What would people do? They would scan it. They would scan it immediately, and they're looking for, do I want to take this class? And they're looking for, some people would say, how much is the final exam going to be worth? How much is the midterm? Those sorts of things. But the one thing that I always look for immediately, and it could be a deal breaker for me, was what? If the course required a paper, that was it. If it required, and they usually would tell you, 10 to 20 page paper. This is back in the days when there was one computer on campus, and it was about the size of a house, and you had a computer lab that would seat about 10. You could, otherwise, how did you have to do your papers? Type them. And so it was brutal. I mean, bad enough writing a paper, but having to produce it was difficult. So the bottom line is, I would go through the syllabus, and if it required a lengthy paper, well, then I just would not take that class. I would go to AdDrop with my computer cards, and we would go and drop that class. So anyway, writing is difficult. Writing is a very difficult process, and most people don't like to do it. So they avoid it at all costs. Hold that thought. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but for thousands of years, if you wanted to go somewhere new, let's say you wanted to go to point B, and you're at point A, and you want to get there. You've never been there. For thousands of years, the first thing you had to do was do what? You had to get out a? Anybody remember maps? Anybody? Okay, good, 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 good. Well, when I first graduated from college, one of my first jobs was working for the American Automobile Association. You ever heard of them? Do you remember triptychs? Anybody remember that? All right, we got some older folks here. Okay, good. All right, triptych. I loved them. I love maps. I just love them. And so, but anyway, what you would do, you would get out your triptych, you'd get out your map, and you would decide how you were going to get from where you currently were to where you wanted to be. And then once you studied the map and looked at the roads, then you would plan your trip, and off you would go. And then as you're going, as you're trying to get to wherever it was, you would stop here and look at the map. Are we making good progress? Are we still on the right road? That sort of thing. Well, all of that changed, and I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but my guess is probably around 20 years ago. Something changed. Now, if you wanted to get from here to there, you didn't need a map. You don't need any maps anymore. No, because suddenly something had replaced the dear old map. That something was GPS, Global Positioning System. Friends, on the day that you decided to use GPS instead of a map, was the day that the world began to unwind. The world began to become unraveled. It began to fall apart. It began to disintegrate. And it began to disintegrate because the GPS breaks everything up into what I like to call the geographic non sequiturs. All right? That day, the big picture was destroyed. Big picture was, you see, we never get a map out any longer. No. Instead, we just go about every, 10 feet and make a turn. And then recalculate periodically, go forward if you make a left, make whatever. And my favorite, make the next left and then make the next left. I'm thinking, come on, just tell us we're going in the wrong direction. Turn around, go back, you're going the wrong way. Anyway, it's short-sighted. It's a short-sighted way of doing things, and all we focus on is what is required at that point in time. It's the metaphor for our lives. That's the metaphor, and that's got to change. We need a map, folks. We got to go back. We got to go back to that beautiful, reliable map. Here we go. Jesus said this. He said, follow me. And then he gave you the map. And he said this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You do that, you'll get where you want to go. All right, of course, across the years, the problem has been, how does one live into those words? How does that become reality? Love of God and love of others. Well, to continue the map metaphor, we may all have the same map, with the same destination in mind, but we each find ourselves at different points along the journey, along the way. And sometimes we even find ourselves taking alternative courses. There's many ways to get to the same location. About 2 weeks ago, today was All Saints Sunday. Now, All Saints Day is November 1, but All Saints Sunday is the first Sunday following that, the first Sunday of November. And by saints, we mean those folks who, over the course of their lives, have helped us to grow as human beings. Individuals who made us better people because they shared their life with us, they shared the grace of God with us, they showed us the way of Christ. And thereby doing that, they shaped us. They gave us a map for our lives. All right. Do you remember talking about saints? Who are your saints? Name your saints, again, in your heart and in your mind. And I hope you can do that because our saints are incredibly important to us, especially as we attempt to pinpoint the current location of our souls. Because being conscious of our saints reminds us that we are not self-created individuals. If you think you're self-created, self-made, you're deluding yourself. No, we got here with lots of help all along the way. Our lives are a gift, they're not an entitlement. And therefore, the ordering principle of our lives is thankfulness, gratitude. And we've been talking about since the first week of October. It's been our theme this fall. And this week, it's going to conclude, we're setting a whole day aside just for that, to give thanks. All right, so it's time to do it. So it's time to do this. It's time to get organized. Today's Reign of Christ Sunday, also Thanksgiving Sunday, as I said before. How perfect is that? You know, next week starts a new year, new liturgical year with the first Sunday of Advent. And no matter how much I may try to avoid it, as much as I may dislike it, I can no longer do it. It's time to actually write something down. It's time to get specific. It's time to write a rule for our living. I mentioned this, I think it was probably the first Sunday of November, rule of Saint Benedict. Benedict, in I think it was the 6th century, said this is how you should order your life, to live in community. And then he spelled it out. And it's still used down to this very day. So it's time to write your rule for living, literally. And I've shared these stats, and I keep them near my computer at home. And let me just remind you of these. If you set a goal, this is what people who study this stuff say. If you set a goal and you just have it in your mind, there's a 30% chance that you will achieve that. 30%. But they say if you think about your goal and you write it down, literally, you take something, you write it down, it doubles. The chance of you succeeding is 60% just by writing it. And if you think about it, and you write it, and you tell somebody that you have done, it jumps to 75%. And if you think it, and write it, and tell somebody, and then ask that person, check with me about that, it jumps to 85%. Wow. Now, I always ask people, they'll say, Jay, you need to remember this. I say, write it down. Please write it down for me. And I come up here on Sundays and there's post-its all over the place. And that's beautiful because I don't mean to forget things, but I only have a 30% chance of remembering it. So I write it down, and it's time to write. It's time to write your rule for living. Now, in college, when I could not avoid it and I had to write a paper, I realized the hardest part of a paper writing is not coming up with a topic. It's not the research. It's not even the time it takes to write. The hardest part is what? Blah, blah. That is correct. It is getting started. Putting the mark on the paper. And there's a technical term for that when you first write. It's called the rough draft. The rough draft. Why is it called the rough draft? Because it's rough. But it's something. And from there, you move. It's about being in progress. And that's where we are. We are in progress. So what I want you to do, I want you to go out this week, today, this afternoon, and I want you to buy a journal. Now, it could be, they're cheap. If you can't buy a journal because it's too expensive, buy a legal pad. If you can't afford a legal pad, come here to the church. We've got loads of them. We'll give you a legal pad. And then what you need to do is you need to go home and you need to write something. Literally, you need to write something. You need to write something like, it's a title, My Order for Living. Just right there across the top of the page. Or maybe, How I'm Going to Live Thankfully. Something like that. And then right below that title, begin to write your order. Like the psalmist says, I will praise you 7 times a day. Okay. Maybe part of your order of thankful living will be to pause at various times every day to give thanks to God. And it doesn't have to be formal. You say, when I first wake up, I'm just going to say thank you. And then at lunch, I'm going to say thank you. Or maybe it's going to be some dedicated time before a meal, a blessing, as we say, but not some perfunctory sort of thing. No, just thank you for this food, the hands that grew this food, the hands that transported it and brought it to me at this point. Thank you. Something like that. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount said this, you are the light of the world. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. So maybe part of your rule will be to emit the light of goodness in this world, frequently and intentionally, because that same light has been poured into your life, shown into your life time and time again. Jesus said, when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first. Be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and offer your gift. Maybe in your rule, you'll have a time of assessment. You know, at the end of each day, during which you'll think about the important relationships of your life. And then you'll think, you know, what do I need to do to maintain the health of these relationships? Maybe you need to offer forgiveness to someone, or maybe you need to seek forgiveness from someone. You know, you'll include this in your rule because each day you've been the recipient of God's restorative grace. Jesus said, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. You know, maybe striving after honesty in all your dealings, integrity in all your ways, will be in your rule of life. You know, because you believe that it is the nature of God. And it is that nature that is breathed into your life with each inhalation. Intentionality. Intentionally remembering and systematically enacting thanksgiving through your life. I will do this. And then write it down. I will drive for Meals on Wheels twice a month because I have food to eat. And many of my brothers and sisters in this world do not. You know. Now, of course, you can get as specific as you wish. You can do chapters and verse, whatever you want. Or I will emit light through my life by, and then write it down. I will be a person of integrity by this. I will give because I have received, and this is how I will give. And then write it down. But please don't go overboard. You know, take your time. Don't get overzealous. This is a rough draft. It's a rough draft. We are in progress and we are in process. And that's the key. And for me, there is a passage in the Gospel of John, not the one that I read this morning, that time and time again provides me with a sense of direction. And I do not understand these words in some sort of exclusive sense, as in my way is better than your way sense. No. But rather, this is where I have found my path to life since. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of life. In other words, I am the bread of life. Today's Reign of Christ Sunday. That means that next week we get to start again. We get another chance. And that means that today we need to do some writing. So go and begin the rule. Thanks be to God. Amen.